Hey, good afternoon. I'm doing good, Patrick, just out here driving around in the rain, going to a dentist appointment.
Messing up the airwaves, N0TR.
Have a channel, we don't allow certain people on here.
Is that Patrick? Should we go ahead and kick him off?
But it's pretty good entertainment with you two, usually.
You know, somebody's going to give Tom a hard time. Jump on in here, Tom, and tell us something good. Make it quick, that I'm almost at my destination.
61 degrees, 4 to 9 mile an hour gusts out of the east. Brahma's 2983, and you're clear for landing, runway 22.
What's the altitude of the airport?
38 feet, and I'd like you to squawk 1212.
1212. Well, I have touched down, and I'm already being directed to my parking place here. Y'all carry on. KB4CBA clear.
Okay, Dave. Good to hear you. Be safe out there. We're going to go to a doctor's appointment after a while for Bernice's eye to get checked up after her cataract surgery yesterday. Go ahead, Patrick.
To you, Dave. Good luck in the dentist office. That chair can usually not turn out too good for me.
Yeah. And after trying to run me off, I hope he uses the square needle.
For the snore guard, so there's a beat on needles.
But, Patrick, just in between?
From Whitehorse Road over to Wade Hampton right now, so I've got a few minutes to talk on the radio, so I usually try to enjoy it.
Roger, we'll increase your stopping distance. Oh, our kids are supposed to go to a ball game tonight, baseball game for the grandson, and the weather does not look like it's going to be cooperative for that, even in Atlanta. And then they're off to Aruba.
I think I'd be wanting to play a baseball game in this weather. It's been raining pretty hard over here on this side of town today.
We've got 0.70 inches, so about 3/4 of an inch since midnight. Most of the time it's been nice and steady. Occasionally it's been coming down pretty good. Well, I've been sitting here unwrapping one of those battery jumper boxes. I got one the other day for the car. I'm going to put one in the truck. And I'm charging it up with the laptop here through a USB port, so it's rather slow. But it says it's up to 79% already. Those things really work.
Which brand did you get?
Sheena product. It says Type S, Turing. It's hard to read. Turing items, Type S. I got it at Costco's for $59.
Impressive what they'll jump off. I sell those, not that particular one, but I do sell the little battery packs where you can jump a vehicle off like that. I keep one of the NOCO GV150s in my Excursion because it'll jump off diesels with a little bitty battery, so I'm pretty impressed with it.
Reeve told me he had one that he's got two or three of them, I guess, one in his wife's car, VWA, and he said he jumped off a diesel. I think that his truck's diesel. It's a monster. But at any rate, it says it's 8,000 milliampere hours. I don't know how yours compares to that. But it just jumped that Avalon like it was nothing. And so I went out and got a new battery yesterday.
I don't know what the millivolts are. I don't know if it's power on the power zero. I don't know what it is. Yeah, Steve's truck is diesel. It's a Dodge diesel, so that's a pretty good one to jump off.
You're really scratchy down there. White Hills Road's a killer, so be careful down there and watch out for pedestrians. They kill a lot of pedestrians on that road for some reason. I've only been on it a couple of times since we've been down here. Well, basically 8,000 milliampere hours would be 8 amps. But I wouldn't have thought that would have jumpered a car by any means, but boy, it sure does. It says it should be at 50% or greater when you jump a car. But it's also a flashlight, warning device, and it will run your cell phone forever, just about. If you were transmitting, Patrick, you're probably on the blind side of Paris Mountain there.
Rutherford Road right now, so yeah, Paris Mountain is in between me and the repeater. But what I was going to say is, be careful leaving that hooked up after the car starts. That's when they have a problem. The lithium battery doesn't like to be charged that way.
You know, I just read that in the instructions, and you're absolutely right. It said unplug it within 90 seconds after you, either 30 or 90. When you put it on, you got 90 seconds to start the car. I think, you got 30 seconds to take it off. I can understand that.
I might have to give a training class on everyone I sell on how to use it. You'd be surprised at how many mechanics can't read the instructions.
They don't read the instructions, or else they, like me, flunked hooked on phonics.
One guy, he can't read and write, but the rest of them, they just flat out don't do it. I asked him, I said, did you read the instructions? What instructions?
This is N0TR. Yeah, Bernie said that's typical. shoot. Well, usually the print in the instructions is so dang small you can't hardly read it. Or you need a flashlight to read it. And then it's in about 10 different languages, Chinese, Arabic, and all the different ones. But people get discouraged with it. I hate having to go through menu-driven devices anymore. On your radio and that, setting in the particulars that you want to put in, or even programming for example, the radio, these tuners, the bigger ones like my MFJ998, you got to program them too. And sometimes some of those parameters, I just don't understand them, but I'm not exactly a dummy, but there are things that I don't understand electronically for sure.
Difference. I may not understand it, but I will try to figure it out without tearing it up. I may ask questions. That's the big difference. It's not everything is a hammer.
Very true. Well, I know you're no dummy. I heard you talking about D-Star or whatever it was being on a handy talkie and the interface with the internet and all that yesterday, and that was beyond my realm.
It's a little beyond mine, or it's way beyond mine too, but like I said, I try to research and try to look at things and try to understand it. As a mechanic for 20 years, that was what I did. I was a diagnostic guy. So I spent a lot of time figuring out problems, why stuff wasn't working, and how to make it work, or what it needed. And I missed that part of working on cars, and ham radio has been that for me since I've got into it.
What is that? It's intriguing in that way. Well, then, if I pronounce this right, you know what the term stoichiometry means.
And that would be 14.7 to 1.
Well, 0.8 to 1, but somewhere along them parameters, air-gas ratio.
I've spent quite a bit of time under a hood of a car, and I have two manufacturer-specific training courses under my belt, master certified for Ford and GM, along with an associate's degree in it, so I've got more education than one man really needs in the automotive part of it.
Because it's hard to find an excellent technician nowadays, and they are technicians if they're qualifying. I presume places like Toyota and Nissan and the dealerships would have to require that in this day and age with all the new transducers and crankshaft positions and elimination of the distributors and your oxygen sensors and air-gas ratios and all of that stuff. And then it all summations back at the ECM and does it in microseconds. It's just totally amazing. I learned most of that out of a Radio Shack book about an inch thick many years ago. So I'm sure it's changed, but I learned a lot in that book. Radio Shack used to publish some good books on things like that.
Still got them. You better hang on to them because paper publication may be hard to find for long. I hate reading stuff on a computer. I'd much rather turn a page. I can keep track of where it's at, and I can flip right back to it. It takes me forever on a screen.
My comprehension's not good anymore. I get sleepy when I read a lot. I'd much rather read it in a book, and then I can take my highlighter pen and highlight it or dog ear a page. And it's been enjoyable seeing the great steps they have done. People don't realize. They say, oh, back in the days, you know, Ford tried to buy up the patents for this carburetor that got 100 miles a gallon and all that. They don't think about the fact that a gallon of gas has got so many BTUs in it, and they're getting every ounce of that out of there that they possibly can now. And that particular thing about them doing that is BS.
So the way they're doing it right now, it is, there are actually fuel systems out there that will get close to 100 miles to the gallon, but you have to atomize the fuel much finer, and that's when it becomes a problem with explosions.
You know what? If you had the secrets to 100 miles a gallon and could put it in your automobile, would you keep that secret? I don't think so, just for the benefit of the big oil companies. There's just so many BTUs in certain types of fuel, and you ain't going to get any more out of it. And I think they do a tremendous job of getting it out right now.
Correct. There's only so many BTUs in there, and there's only so much you're going to be capable of doing. But there's still room for improvement out there in the way we're doing things. Down to, believe it or not, money in the industry. They're just not willing to do things because they're still profitable to do it the other way.
And another theory against that is the fact that if that was true, why would they all be going to electric? And they are going to electric.
Of them are going to electric, but if you look, it's funded by the government. They're all getting government funding to do it. The government's pushing that way. We don't have the infrastructure to support it right now is the major hurdle to overcome.
Funding from the government or it wouldn't be done because it's just not economically feasible for the companies to do it otherwise. The bottom line is they have to make a profit, and they do need some government help at times. It's the golden rule. Those with the gold make the rules.
Matt.
Yeah. Back in the 50s and 60s, they'd tell us that, oh, yeah, these big car companies bought up the patents to this carburetor that could put out 100 miles a gallon. You know what? That's like the conspiracies about who shot John F. Kennedy and all of these things. I'm not buying into it. Facts are facts. It's in 0TR.
Yeah, there's no carburetor that's going to do it. They're going to have to, it's a fuel injection system, more like what would be on a jet plane that works, and it's just not feasible to put in a car to do that because of the problems you're going to run into.
And there are things that'll do that, that'll get you that kind of performance in that, hydrogen fuel cells, and that the Germans have a submarine that once they're out to sea and go on diesel, they run on hydrogen fuel cells so that they're totally silent. And if you had the infrastructure to support hydrogen, you could do that. But again, you run into these problems of, hey, that stuff's pretty explosive, you know? This is N0TR.
Just like running on CNG gas, propane, there's no infrastructure for it. It's a cleaner burning fuel, but it's not as efficient on its fuel mileage either. And there's just not enough infrastructure for it.
TR. Yeah, and that's true. And I've fueled many, many, many hundreds and hundreds of forklifts with fuel. I had the certification for propane. I ran a 30,000-gallon propane generating plant. And then at this other plant, our forklifts run on it. But they do add a lot of weight, and there's no money there for putting gas stations in every corner like there is now so that you can provide that natural gas.
For HKX, yeah, I got a little propane generator on my trailer that I'm using now to run everything in it, and I have a hard time finding a place to get propane on it.
Propane, pretty much the air-gas ratio on it has to be perfect to make it explode. But what I ran was we had 370 gallon an hour, so 210 gallons an hour. It would evaporate the propane. And back in the 80s, they would shut down industries totally if you ran over a certain amount of gas in a month, and we were using over that. So I would go to the mixing station, and I would mix in an air-gas ratio of propane to a carburation network, and then I'd feed it into our building through this big 10-inch pipe. And what that would do is run all of the heaters, which I probably had a whole 100 heaters to take care of that were like 225,000 BTUs each. Some of them were 480 volt infrared. Some of them were natural gas. We had every variety heater you could imagine. But that's what we did, and I'd feed it in there. Then you didn't have to go around and change all the orifices out whenever you switched over to propane.
Idea. I wonder if more places are doing something like that.
Say again, Bernice, drowned you out.
Wonder if more places are using that philosophy on that right there, on the propane.
Pretty neat. That propane tank was about a half a block long. You had to climb up a ladder. I remember waiting out there one morning when one of those propane generators, the pop-off valve, stuck. And propane goes down, kind of like chlorine. And so when I waited out there to get that pop-off valve unstuck by tapping on it, and I didn't have any beryllium wrenches or non-sparking, I was waist-deep in the propane. And it just tell you for sure. I had a boss follow me out there one day, and I was lighting one of those, and it went out, and there was, oh, probably a foot of snow. And I was kneeling down with my tail sitting in the snow and starting to light it, and I'd forgotten about that pilot light in there going, and it was collecting all the propane in there, and when I lit it, it went boom, and actually I was balancing, you know, squatting down, and it actually tipped me over backwards. And this boss, he was noted for being a chicken, and he was just wanting to see if I was goofing off outside or something, you know, and I knew he was behind me and had walked over behind the foundry to watch me. And when that went off, all I seen, Patrick, was tracks heading back towards the machine shop, and he never, ever followed me again.
Get rid of management then, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll never forget him. He was bad about that. He was sneaky. Anyway, Patrick, I got to go. I got to get ready to take Bernice to the eye doctor. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I'd like to know more about your automotive technology experience. It's very interesting. You'll have to come over and see my neighbor's new car. He's got a 600. Let's see. I think it's 570 on the horsepower on the one he's building now in an old Buick Regal in the 80s. And with two shots of nitro, that'll bring it up another couple of hundred horse. And he's got a Camaro, a 67 Camaro that dynoed 680 horse, I think it was. And he calls that a driver. he says it's a Jake Late, but it isn't. He done a beautiful job. You take care. Talk to you later. 73's Patrick, N0TR
clear. TRKO4HKX. You be careful out there with Bernice. And I hope everything's good when she goes for her checkup there. 73's to you, KO4HKX, clear.